do experience.
During the last episode, I spoke about the content reuse and strategy on how to create that content and what kind of content to create when you're working with influencers on an influencer marketing campaign. This time, in this episode, I'm going to be talking about another note card. For those who are watching the video, of course, the audio listeners can't see the note card. You might want to check out the YouTube channel. I don't think it's clearly visible, even if I hold it up in the video. But I'm going to be talking about how to decide what the relevant channels are. And by channels, I mean where you will be disseminating this content that has been created. And I'm also going to be talking about measuring and how to measure the effectiveness of the influencer marketing campaign. But let me warn you, there's no silver bullet trick answer for measurement or for you to determine the efficiency or effectiveness of the campaign when you're working with an influencer. So let's get down to it. The first thing I'll talk about is relevant channels and how do you decide which channels will be most useful for your brand. And that is also one way you can decide which influencer to work with. I have heard this again and again where people say blogs are dying. It sounds similar to print is dying. I don't think either of these are dying. It's a process of evolution. Blogs have existed for a long time. Print has existed for a long time. How we consume content has changed. It will continue to change as technology changes, but I would be very surprised if blogs just up and died. Blogging is like being an influencer on Instagram, for example, in the sense that it's a separate independent channel. I'm not dependent on an Instagram or a platform's profitability to see if it survives. My blog will be there regardless of whether Instagram survives, Facebook survives, Twitter survives. I hope they all survive. But my blog is like my own publication. And I think it is relevant to have a place like a blog for your brand's story to be told, for your brand's products to be shared. I feel that attention spans on Instagram, for example, are way shorter. So the kind of audience that a brand might be reaching out to on an Instagram will be very different to the kind of audience they would find if they were working with a blogger who's also an influencer. Similarly, how that same influencer's audience on Twitter will be very different. And again, friends on Facebook and the Facebook page, etc., the audience that is consuming that same influencer's content is quite different. How they consume that data. For example, on Twitter, it's more about having a conversation, sharing insights in smaller bites. On Instagram, it's more the visual, and you can also have a very detailed caption. So Instagram could be a microblog on its own instead of having a blog. But I think a blog gives the chance to the influencer and to the brand to tell a more engaged story, to tell a story in the first place. It's all there to be referenced. You can go back to my blog entries from 2006. Don't, please don't. But they're there. And if I work with a brand once, you can see the progression of the brand. If you are someone who has been looking at my work from my early days, and there are some brands that I've been working with consistently over the past few years, you see how the brand has grown. You see how the brand's products have changed and evolved. Some of them have become better in terms of quality, in terms of engaging with their customers, engaging with my audience. You have to decide relevance on the basis of that. I would suggest that you should definitely have a story to tell to start with. If you can spin that into a marketing campaign and then apply it across a good mix of influencers, not just someone who has a fantastic blog but has no presence on Instagram, for example, or no presence on Twitter. I always say this, try and work with someone who has an even presence on all platforms, and then you can work with leading blogger, one leading Instagrammer, one leading Twitter personality, one musician, one photographer, some a photographer who is more popular on Facebook than on Instagram, a photographer who is more popular on Instagram than on any other channel. It needs to be a good distribution depending on what is more relevant. And it goes back to that question of what kind of content is going to be more relevant for your brand. For example, if it is visuals, then Instagram is an important channel for you, and you should work with influencers who also have an Instagram presence. With a blog, you can have words, you can read, you can do a long form piece, you can do creative short stories, you can document. So the ways of, you know, sharing a story on a blog are many more compared to a platform like, for example, a Twitter or an Instagram. And each of these platforms has a different vibe, a different way of sharing content, a different way of consuming that content. But a blog, I feel, is it's like a book or a magazine, you know, print magazine or a printed piece that you would sit and read. And I think a lot of blogs today that do good work, and I don't mean blogs where they're sharing 10 different news pieces every day. I literally mean lifestyle blogging. And lifestyle covers a lot of stuff. And I think it's a nice way and a more enriched way of telling a story, regardless of what space your brand is in. As a lifestyle blogger myself, I have worked with technology brands. There have been mobile phones, there have been cameras, and fashion and travel, and I mean, literally, you name it, anything can fit into lifestyle. You need to have good quality photographs because that really seals the deal. It also makes it easier for you to get popular on Instagram. So you need to have good photos and, of course, good writing, no bad grammar, structured, crisp writing. And this is possible on a blog. It's a little more engaging. Instagram is more, you know, you're scrolling through, and again, Instagram's algorithm, you can't really control. As an influencer, I can tell you that I have no control over Instagram's algorithm. Unless I'm willing to spend money and promote using an ad and pay the platform, or then if I find a way to buy followers or buy likes and game the system, I have no control over where my images will show up in my followers' feeds or when they will show up. I have complete control on my blog. I can make sure that a story stays on the front page. If it is important to me, if I feel incredibly proud to have shot that story or had myself photographed wearing a brand, for example. So I have complete control, which I don't otherwise have on Twitter or on Instagram in that sense. And you know, you have to understand, on Twitter and Instagram, people don't come to your profile to read, okay, what is Nena up to? Or what is this brand up to? Most people tend to just scroll through what is available on their newsfeed, and there is already so much happening. But for a blog, it's, you know, people go back and say, oh, I want to see what's up with Nena. Sometimes, I mean, again, nobody really has the time to sit and visit 10 different bloggers' blogs because they're like interested in them. But these social channels serve as a way for me to, you know, share that content, share a link, and then people click on it and come to the blog. So it brings in traffic to a place where you can tell your story in a better way, is basically why I constantly recommend blogs. Also because I'm a blogger, so I have a vested interest in recommending blogging if in your influencer marketing plan. But you have to understand that if you're a serious brand that has little to no visuals, for example, then you might want to engage with a more you know, intellectual kind of crowd. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but I'm trying to indicate Twitter. So Twitter's crowd is more about, you know, conversations, engaging with people from across the world, people who are probably not from the same genre or industry as I am. I mean, I follow a lot of serious photojournalists or war photographers. I follow CEOs of brands or companies that have probably never even considered working with an influencer. But I like to learn on Twitter. For me, it's a place where I learn about what's up in the industry. I learn about how to make my life better. I follow people like Dan Harris, who wrote the book called 10% Happier. If you are thinking about meditation and you're skeptical, I highly recommend his book. I listen to it on Audible as an audiobook, and because he himself is a news reader, the delivery is kind of awesome. So for me, Twitter is this place where I go and learn. So the kind of people I follow, the kind of people who follow me, are more not really looking at like, oh, selfie. And, you know, Instagram is more on the stories section. You can write about, oh, hey, I was at a shoot today and this is what happened. And so each platform, you need to figure out what are the pros and cons of each platform, and all platforms have pros and cons. And then you decide that, okay, my brand is more visual, so I need to be on Instagram, I need to be on Facebook. If you are a small indie brand, for example, that sells products like handbags or even clothes that are made in India, I highly recommend that you have a Facebook page and a store on your website. I know brands that I have worked with who have Facebook pages, and they get a lot of orders via their Facebook page. They get a lot of orders on WhatsApp, for example. And I also know of brands that get orders on Instagram. I know of this jewelry brand where they always, the moment they post a photo of a new collection or a new piece, or a blogger wearing a new piece and they've reposted the photo, they get comments saying, what's the price for this? How do I get my hands on this? Can you tell me more about the product and things like that? So you have to see, look at other brands that are in the same category as you and what has worked for them. I mean, this is all out in the open. You don't need to go to the brand and say, hey, you know, I'm your competitor, please tell me how this works. It's all there in the open. All you have to do is look at their channels and see how they interact with their audience. How are influencers working for them? And, you know, you kind of get a sense of how it's working for them. Where is their most engaged audience coming from? And you might decide that because, you know, this brand is doing well on this platform, we don't want to try this out. We want to try something else. But it'll help you inform your influencer marketing plan in any case. So you don't have to like depend on other brands or depend on influencers to tell you that, you know, this is how well this campaign did, for example. Most people are not comfortable sharing that kind of information. In any case, it's confidential. So someone might give you general guidelines of what platforms work for them. Sure, most people, at least in this generation, are a little more open about how things are working because, hey, it's the internet. So this relevant channel thing, you need to figure out, why does Facebook work for you? Why would Google Plus be important for you? Would a YouTube channel make sense for you? Again, on YouTube, a lot of, you know, people talk about these days, we have a lot of conversations where it's like, oh, everyone's doing these makeup tutorials that, oh, applying, you know, contouring and eyeshadow and lipstick. And those people are damn good at it. But how far is that going to go? And is that actually helping in any way to, you know, sell a product, for example? And I know makeup artists who do this kind of stuff. And, you know, there was a makeup artist who recently did a collaboration with another makeup artist. And they released a makeup collection. And it was sold out within the first 24 hours. So it does help. And you need to figure out what works. So, well, on YouTube, this might work. You know, makeup might work, for example, where you engage with influencers who have a YouTube channel and who do makeup tutorials and who have a large following. So, you know, it kind of works. Or then you work with someone who is a cinematographer, for example, okay? And they do stories. So behind the scenes, like I do behind the scenes photography, you work with a videographer or a cinematographer who does behind the scenes storytelling for your brand on video. And they have a YouTube channel which might not have a million followers, but even if they have 20,000 subscribers, you know, for example, you have these 20,000 people who are following this really talented videographer who is telling a story about your brand. So, and again, that's just one channel. You need to now spread this content on all your platforms. So if you have a YouTube video which is 20 minutes long, you take cuts from it. You take 1 minute long cuts from it. I'm not saying you do all 20 minutes because that's kind of dumb. But you could do that also. You could do a 20 part series on your Instagram, right? But it's better to probably do a 4 part series and say for the rest of the full video, please go to our YouTube channel, link in bio. So Instagram can work like that. On the blog, I can actually have the entire video. I can also have still footage from behind the scenes. So on the blog, I can kind of mix and match with pretty much whatever I want to do. And you don't necessarily have to work with someone who has a blog. I just think having a presence evenly on all platforms makes sense. I would also say that, you know, just for example, I have a blog. I currently get about 40,000 page views a month. I don't have any ads on the blog. I'm not promoting the blog anywhere on any channel right now. If I promote it, then my page views go up to about 80,000. Like if you're on Facebook, if I do an ad. But my bounce rate increases. You need to understand these things. You know, if you're working with a blogger, you need to know what page views are. You need to know what a session means. You need to understand what a bounce rate is. So I know, for example, a lot of influencers on Instagram who have like, you know, 500,000 followers, for example. They also have a blog, but their blog gets only 5,000 page views a month. I think there's something off there. I just hit 40,000 followers on Instagram, and my blog has around 35,000 to 45,000 page views every month. I get very little traffic from Instagram, but I do get some traffic from Instagram. I get a lot of traffic from Twitter, and I get a lot of traffic from Facebook. Still, the maximum amount of traffic I get is direct. People directly come to nena.co and, you know, take a look at it. So it helps, because I would say that my blog circulation in that sense is probably more than a average print magazine in India. I would like to do something in a regional language. Like, I would like to speak in Hindi and maybe do these podcasts and help smaller Hindi speaking brands. But then my blog doesn't really, I've not really done it. So I think there's that barrier that's happening. Okay, let us move on to part two before I end the video just talking about part one. The second thing, you know what, maybe I'll just touch upon it this time, and next time I can kind of talk about it. I wanted to talk about measurement. Before you even get into how you're going to measure it, because if you've decided that, okay, you know, going back to your campaign goal, if your campaign goal was to increase awareness about your brand, how are you going to measure that awareness, basically? So, you want to increase traffic to your website? How would you do that? Do you want to get more Instagram followers? How would you do that? Do you want more people talking about you on Twitter? How would you do that? So, you need to, and once you decide, I want more people to come to our website. So, I want all the influencers to share a URL wherever they post. Now, if an Instagram person on Instagram doesn't have a verified profile, they can't post a URL. Otherwise, they can now post a URL in their Instagram stories, which stays on for 24 hours. And you can always say swipe up to see more. I'm still not verified. Please, somebody verify my Instagram page. And on the blog, of course, it's very easy to include URLs. So I always include a URL to the brand's website, to their Twitter page, to their Instagram, to their Facebook, to their YouTube. Wherever they have presence, I direct people there. I also link directly to the product. For example, if I'm wearing something and I'm like, oh, you know, thanks to this brand, courtesy, whatever. And I link it that this was the product in case someone's interested in buying exactly that product. When you're talking about links, it's very easy to measure. If the brand has a website, for example, which I highly recommend, you will have Google Analytics. If you don't have Google Analytics, please get Google Analytics. If you are an influencer who is on WordPress and you don't have Google Analytics, please get Google Analytics. Because WordPress Analytics, you know, tomorrow if you want to change your WordPress blog or your URL, for example, your data might, you know, all your data of how many hits you got, how many page views you got, what your bounce rate was might disappear. But Google Analytics, you have to use that one code which stays everywhere. And even if you change your blog, for example, you can just take that code and put there and all your old data will still be there. So Google Analytics is super important for a brand and for an influencer. Things like how many Instagram followers did the brand get on working with this influencer, for example. That obviously you'll know once the campaign is done, and maybe a little after that also, because there will be a trickle effect. Some people do go back and look at older stuff that the influencer has posted. So you can do that, but that you can probably only measure when you're working with one influencer at a time. If you're working with 10 influencers, then you can measure the campaign. You can't measure per influencer what the effect was. You can look at, I mean, obviously you need to know how many updates the influencer is going to be making. That's not something you should measure after. That's something you should make sure before you sign the contract with them. And so links are very easy. You can, so if you're getting a link from my blog and people are clicking on that, on your blog's dashboard, you can see where are you getting those links from. So you can easily count and see that, oh, you know, these 60 hits came from the blog post that Naina did last month. Or, you know, traffic continues to come from there, for example. Now, once they're on your website, then it is up to you to capture where they go from one page to the other next. You need to understand these things. You can't just be like, "Arey, you know, nothing happened. What were you aiming for? What was the campaign goal which you then wanted to measure? If you don't set out saying that we want to measure this, how will you know on what basis was the campaign effective or efficient or got you sales, for example? I always consider sales as a big bonus, because that should not be your ideal campaign goal when you are working with an influencer on an influencer marketing campaign, for example. Sales are always a bonus. And I'm super happy whenever brands say that, oh, hey, you know, I sold so many bags, I sold jewelry, I sold whatever. It's awesome. I like it. Okay. And that is feedback that the brand has to give to me. You know, as an influencer, I can't tell the brand that, oh, so many products are sold. They have to tell me. And please give that feedback. I can use that as a testimonial to, you know, talk to another brand and say that, hey, you know, look at the number of sales I helped make because of this influencer marketing campaign that the brand paid me for. It does happen. I do have clients who tell me, but 90% of them don't give any feedback. And that is because they don't know how to measure or even what to measure. So if you haven't decided what are you going to measure, how are you going to tell me whether it worked or not, you wouldn't know if it worked or not. And that is why you feel that you are wasting money. Because aapko pata hi nahi hai aapne kya kiya hai aur aapne kyun kiya hai. Aapke paas paise hain aur aapne marketing budget spend kar diya hai aapne, lekin hua kya? So people are like, oh, digital marketing, influencer marketing is bullshit. No, you're an idiot. If you don't know how to measure and what to measure, toh phir toh sabhi pagal hain phir toh. Okay. So yeah, like I said, you should ideally, maybe if you're doing it for the first time, maybe work with an influencer at a time to see where you're getting the most traffic from, where you're getting the most, whatever your goal was. Did you get more followers while working with X instead of Y? Did you get more sales from Y but you didn't get as much traffic or something like that? So you need to figure out these metrics and then you choose that, okay, these are the 10 people we will work with from now on. And once in a while you pick up a new fresh face and you say, chalo inke saath bhi kuch karke dekhte hain. Okay. Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about, yeah, like I said, on the website you need to understand page views and bounce rate and all. For example, like I said, 500,000 followers on Instagram, 5,000 page views on your blog and 90% bounce rate. No. Try and understand what it is. You know, in find out what is the industry standard bounce rate. What is considered a good bounce rate in the industry? You can Google this stuff. You bounce rate is basically when, you know, someone comes to your website and then just leaves without clicking on an extra page. They just come to one page and then they go. So if 90% of the people who are coming to your blog or your website are just looking at one page and leaving, then you have a 90% bounce rate. My bounce rate is like 12%. So there are only 12% people who come to my blog and then leave. And my bounce rate goes up when I use promotional tools to get more traffic on the blog. Like I used to do Facebook ads about last year. And while my page views kind of totally spiked, I was getting 75,000, 80,000 page views, my bounce rate went up to like 40%. I was like, so you're basically essentially wasting that. You know, the gap between 12 to 40% is wasted money. Those people are just coming, probably not finding what they came for, and then they're just leaving. My users come to my blog and each person spends time looking at 2 to 3 pages on average, which is supposed to be quite good. So you need to understand this. Like, you know, on Instagram, for example, my metrics can look terrible. I have 40,000 followers and my photos on average get like 120 likes, which is insane. And then you go and see other, you know, influencers where they have a lot of followers and they have, you know, maybe 1,000 likes on a photo or 2,000 likes on a photo. And it's consistently the same number, like every photo that they post. And it's, I don't understand how Instagram works anymore. I had thought it would be good content, but you know, my selfies get the most number of likes. So maybe that's what works for now. And I just don't get it. Like, you know, the algorithm, I have no control. The story might be super popular on my blog, but then you go on Instagram and you're like, why aren't people liking this photo? You know, so you need to figure it out. You need to see Twitter, for example, I have great conversations with complete strangers and I try not to do promotional stuff too much on Twitter. I will post and say, okay, link to my blog with this story and there's a photo with that. So if people like that photo, then the likelihood of them actually clicking on the link and going to the blog post to see all the photos is very high. But they already have an example, right? If I mislead them and if I post a photo of something which is not there on that link, guess what? Higher bounce rate. Authenticity wins. Okay, let's get back to the measurement thing. Yeah, so like I said, based on the type of content, whether images or text or album or video, then you decide what channel is relevant for you and then you measure how many views, the way you measure, like, okay, what influencer has more number of followers, are those followers actually engaging with that person, what does engagement mean, is it just comments, is it just likes, how popular is the blog story instead of just the Instagram post, has the post ever gotten you anything? Are you getting more followers because of that post that an influencer made? And first time though, I think you'll have to kind of experiment and see how it works, which influencer is probably most effective for you. If you're spending, you know, 10,000 rupees on an influencer and you end up selling bags or clothes or shoes or jewelry worth 50,000, then guess who you should be working with. Like, do not let go of them because that's like the most, you know, simple thing to measure. And I've read up a lot online also because I was like, everyone keeps complaining about how do we measure, what is the ROI, what is this, what is that? And I'm like, if you yourself don't have a social media account, if your brand doesn't have a social media account, I don't even see how you can come up to an influencer and ask them what the ROI is, because you don't understand the platform. You don't understand what influencer marketing is. So first, please spend some time trying to understand that. Spend some time having a conversation with an influencer who's been working for a while. Hello. And then figure it out. And start small. I mean, just because everyone is like, oh, influencers, everything is awesome, you must work with them, doesn't mean you suddenly need to like dump 10 lakhs. Yeah. Start small. See how it goes. Try to figure out, do you like it? What kind of, you know, response are you getting? Not just from the audience of the influencers. What are your customers saying? Oh, we like that influencer, please work with them again, I like their style. So that kind of feedback also, which again goes, takes you back to reusing content and creating a strategy around reusing the content that the influencers made, which I've already spoken about, I think, in the last, yeah, the last one was totally about content and reuse and strategy, etc. This was part 4 in the Influencer Marketing for Brands series. I intend to go on. I still have like a bunch of note cards and things to talk about. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye.